It can't be one movie. It's got to be a trilogy. Can't be simple with Mrs. Brown. Can it? God bless. It's got to be three. It's got to be three.
Peter Price, you know, you don't do things in ones. How are you, Pete?
Brendan O'Carroll, I am over the moon. Agnes is just waiting for this weekend. It's just, do you know, it's like a happening, Brendan. It's like a happening.
It's the same. I have to say, it's the same here. I mean, I've done Manchester and Dublin and London, and I'm doing press stuff, and to see Mrs. Brown on the side of a bus.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a face like the back of a bus. She should be in the back of the bus, but Jesus, not on the side of the bus.
But we love her. But you know what? You've always said it. Places like Liverpool gave you that start. You had the talent, but that's where it started.
Well, it's not even places like Liverpool. It's Liverpool. It's absolutely Liverpool. I can't tell you the amount of times that we were in the crapper and Liverpool pulled us out and kept us going time after time after time. The audience just kept coming and kept supporting us and kept coming and kept coming. And every time we'd be in a situation where we go, you know what, I'm not sure we can tour for another 6 months, for the next 6 months, we'd say, let's do 3 weeks in Liverpool. It'll always pad out the coffers and give everybody a week's wage. And it did every time.
It's amazing. Now, you're quite a private person. Although you are who you are, getting to know you as I have, you're a private person.
Yeah.
So has it been a big step to talk about your life in a national newspaper, as you've been doing?
At times it has been. Sometimes it has been. Most of the time, you know, most of the time I'm telling lies anyway, so it doesn't matter. it comes in waves. And right now, you know, Mrs. Brown is a hot TV series and the new movie's coming out, so it's Mrs. Brown's turn to be entertaining the masses and be getting the attention. And then next week, you know, the buses will have a different thing on the side of them and it'll be somebody else's turn and we will just fade away into oblivion. And that's the way it should be, because that's the nature of the business. That's the way the business should be.
Tell us what Australia was like.
Oh, Pete, it's unbelievable. Now, I have to tell you, as a country, I was a bit scared because you always, first of all, you feel, you know you're a long way away. You really do. I took one or two more steps and I'd just fall off the planet. And you always feel, too, that you're only inches away from something that's going to kill you. But at the same time, I don't think I've met friendlier people in my life. It was just an amazing welcome. I was expecting to get a welcome in the airport, something of the... You know when you see this program, Border Patrol?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was expecting to get strip searched and all of this, etc. They're very strict on what you can bring in. You can only bring in 50 fags, not like 50 packs or 10 packs, 50 fags, 2.5 packs. And you can't get my brand in Australia. So we had to actually, months beforehand, we had to get a license to import cigarettes in Australia and to get them imported. So when we arrived, I was expecting to get off the plane and it would take an hour, maybe an hour and a half to get through customs, etc. We arrived off the plane. We were met by two airport security. They said, Mrs. Brown, how are you doing? This way, please. Took us straight through. I said, do you want to see me passport? No, you're fine. Straight through, straight out the door. I said, I bet you're dying for a cigarette. I said, yes, I am. I said, look, I've got to go back in and get my luggage. They said, no, we've got your luggage. It's gone to your hotel already.
Wow.
They were just absolute. We couldn't have been given a better welcome. And it, listen, the show is big in the UK, but mother of God.
Yeah, but their humour is, the humour is you. Their humour is you. When I was over in Australia, as soon as you see their humour, it is Mrs. Brown.
Yeah, it is. You know, they really do get it. And I think they've got a few Mrs. Browns themselves.
Mm. Now, tell me, I've got to ask you, because we've had lots of conversations over cigarettes. And we spoke when Dublin went, you know. Have you tried the e-cigarettes at all?
Yes, I have. Yeah, they're great.
Do they work for you?
Yeah, well, they work for on a flight.
Yeah.
If I'm taking a flight, if I'm going home to Florida, and you've got a 7.5, 8-hour flight, it's nice when you wake up after having a nap and have a cup of coffee and just take a couple of puffs of it on the airplane. But as a cigarette itself, no, it doesn't work for me. As a, see, the thing is, Pete, As well as being addicted to cigarettes, which I know I am, and I shouldn't be, and if anyone's out there listening, I'm not promoting cigarettes. I don't think if you're not a smoker that you should start. Don't, if you don't have to. But unfortunately, I started many years ago when I was a very young boy, and I'm addicted. But apart from being addicted to that, I'm a creature of habit. And being a creature of habit, I love the process. I love taking off the cellophane. I love the sound of that flip top just coming back and then taking the tin foil out off the top and sliding the cigarette out and just feeling the texture of it just before I light it. And it's all of that, you know, it's the process. You don't get that with an e-cigarette. With an e-cigarette, you have it in your breast pocket, you take it out, take a couple of pulls and stick it back in your pocket. If you did that with one of my cigarettes, I'd have no suits. It'd be just all smoke.
Brendan, you started off in a theatre with Mrs. Brown.
Yeah.
You then went to the arenas with screens on either side and you did what you promised. It was like being there. It was fantastic. And
yeah.
Now you are on the big screen and this weekend in England and Dublin and Wales and everywhere is going to be a Mrs. Brown weekend. It must be a weird thing.
Do you listen, Peter? When I was 13 years of age, I was out of school and I started training as a waiter in the Intercontinental Hotel in Dublin. I spent 4 years training and the only thing I'm ever trained for was to be a waiter. And there's not a day that I don't wake up and think, today's the day they're going to find out that I'm only a waiter and they're going to want all their money back. it's been an amazing trip. People are saying to me, oh, you must be living your dreams. I'm so far past my dreams. Listen, selling out the Royal Court was a dream. Once I got past that, anything else was a bonus. We were just absolutely chuffed with ourselves. And this is magic, you know. Mrs. Brown goes to Hollywood. And it's just yeah. It really is like watching somebody else in a dream. I was in London this morning and last night doing some TV stuff, and sitting having a coffee. And every second bus that's gone by has a big Mrs. Brown on the side of it. And you're looking and going, where did this come from? Yeah. How did this start?
We know that you're a workaholic, but you must be pushing to the edge right now and living on adrenaline because I know you're grafting every hour, promoting and getting ready for the film.
Yeah, it's been a tough couple of weeks now. It really has been. And maybe it's just I'm getting old, but I am getting tired more easy. It's now got to the stage where the energy is kind of popping up in the things that I like doing. I mean, I did Graham Norton the other night and I just absolutely loved it.
You weren't on long enough. It was fabulous. I was really annoyed. You weren't on long enough.
The thing is, I could have stayed on all night. I was pumped for it.
Yeah.
I was really enjoying it and I could have stayed there all night. And then you're doing other things where it's, you know, they're going to ask you the same questions again and you could nearly post it in and you go, oh, I wish I could get out of this. But the night of the Graham Norton interview, for instance, that night was the last interview of the day, and I had 26 interviews up to that.
Mm. Wow.
So, it does get a bit tedious. But at the same time, listen, I'm very lucky. My day ended on Graham Norton with a round of applause. A mate of mine has a coalery over here. He's got a coal round, and he'll deliver 50 bags of coal tomorrow on his back.
Yeah.
And when he finishes, nobody will clap. So, you know, I'm lucky, and I know I am.
When are you getting a break?
8th of July, I'm heading home, and once I get home, things should be nice and quiet. The movie will be out, and everybody will be nice and relaxed, and I've just got to... I'm going to take 2 days completely off, the 8th and the 9th, and then on the 10th, I start writing a new Christmas special for BBC for this Christmas, and I'm looking forward to doing those.
Fantastic. Now, how are the gang, and how are they feeling now they're movie stars?
They're all like myself, a little bit stunned by it, a little bit caught in the headlights. Jenny's doing absolutely amazing. Have you seen the movie yet? No.
No. I'm saving it.
Okay.
There's a gang of us going on Saturday. We're going to have a nice bottle of champagne. We're going to drink your health and we're going to watch the movie. And I'm going to be thrown out because I know I'm going to roar with laughter.
Well, they shouldn't throw you out of a comedy for laughing. But apart from the laughter, and I am pleased with it. Apart from the laughter, Jenny's performance in this is just outstanding. For anybody who's listening, watch out for Jenny's performance, particularly in the second last scene. It's just an astonishing performance, and I was really, really proud of her. I mean, I wrote it, but at the same time, when you're writing it, you're hoping that whoever's doing it, and in this case it was Jenny, you know, that when she does the scene, when she says what she's going to say and what you've written, that you can sit back and go, that's what I meant. That's what I meant when I wrote that line. But in the case of this, it was even more than I meant. That's what I meant plus two, you know.
Did you have complete control over the movie?
Yeah. I'm a bit precious like that. The deals that we did with distributors and with partners within Universal as partners, we have BBC Films as partners. It was my own company's production, though, Buckflix, BOC Flix, and we got complete creative control and editorial control. So we got to say what the movie looked like, and I don't mind doing that because I actually like doing that because I would hate for the movie. People come out of the movie and say to me, it's crap. And then we go, well, I didn't really have control. And I feel terrible. But if they come out and say it's crap, and at least I can go, well, that was me. That's the best I can do. Can't do any better than that.
What are you expecting? I know the public are going to love it, but are the critics going to have a go, do you reckon?
I don't know. Well, it doesn't bother me anyway, but I'm trying to think, is there anything in it that might give them... cause for criticism. I'm not sure there's anything in it that they haven't already criticised in the TV series. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
I don't think there's anything new in it that they... I was adamant, and then maybe they criticised this, but it worked for me. I was absolutely adamant that I wasn't going to go the traditional route, as you do, a lot of people do with TV series, where they take them somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, the TV series is... it's set in London, but when we go to the movie part, it's the group who are in Paris, or they send them to New York or into the jungle or whatever. I didn't want to take her out of Dublin. So I knew all the things she'd been talking about in the TV series, that she's a market trader and that Kathy has a job here, that, you know, you see Dermot coming in and out with doing his promotions outfit. I wanted to expand that and actually show all those things happening and also show a little solar snap from her life where she takes on authority and because she hates authority. So she takes on the bankers, she takes on the lawyers, she takes on the developers, she takes on the politicians. And of course, it's a Mrs. Brown movie. You don't have to guess who wins.
Does one of your sons have any daft costumes on?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Oh, Dermot has a nice range of costumes that he will absolutely love.
And I've got to ask, is there a romantic story for a certain gay character?
There's a romantic story insofar as he takes on a challenge. in an effort, I shouldn't tell you too much about the movie, but in an effort to raise funds for the Mrs. Brown Fund, for the Agnes Brown Fund.
Yes.
Somebody suggests that they'll sponsor 5,000 if somebody swims the channel.
What?
So Rory says he'll take it on. Unfortunately, he thought they said the canal. So he takes on that challenge. And I promise you, when you see that scene, you will never forget it for the rest of your life.
The thing is that people that know you and people who are fans know that you surround yourself with not only talent, but nice people who love you and you love them.
Absolutely, and you know what? The people who are friends even in the business, there's a couple of people who remarked it on the Graham Norton show the other night, that they noticed when I came onto the show, I shook hands with Cheryl Cole and I shook hands with Don Johnson, but I gave John Bishop a hug. And I know John, and John's a nice guy, and I like hugging nice guys. I didn't know the other two. So, you know, I am very lucky that the friends I have and the people who I associate with, and the people who I work with, they're nice guys. I remember when I was doing QI last Christmas, the Christmas episode, John Lloyd, who's the producer of it and the creator of it, somebody was telling me that when my name came up in the production meeting, my name was mentioned and said, let's get him in, let's have him as a guest. And John Lloyd asked a question that he asked about every guest. He said, is he a nice guy? And I think that's a lovely way to judge things.
Yeah.
You know, okay, yeah. So what if he can make us laugh? Or so what if he can do that? Is he a nice guy? And obviously the answer was yes, because I did the show. But I think you have to ask yourself, I'm too old. Mm. I'm too old to hang around with shitheads. I really am, you know.
And that's the sad thing about tonight. I don't get me hug. It just, to me, when you come in the studio with the whole team and give me a hug, you can go after that. It's just, that is important. Is it going to be released in Australia?
Yeah, it goes out in Australia 4 weeks later. So the official opening is the 29th of, 27th of June here, and it's the 28th of July in Australia, and they're already pre-booking it. It's just going. Yeah.
I just don't know what you're going to do with the money.
Jeez. I mean,
you've got a few bob now.
I think I'll take October off and just count it.
To finish off, do we see you on tour again soon or not?
Yeah, we start a new tour in March coming up, and of course we will be going to Liverpool. It wouldn't be a tour without Liverpool. A new UK tour. 2015 starts in March of next year, and I think the tickets go on sale in the next couple of... Oh, the 4th of July.
Oh, right.
The 4th of July they start, so Independence Day, the tickets go on sale for the new tour, and it'll be advertised. So I can't wait. I mean, they can take away the movies if they like. They can take away the TV series if they like. As long as they don't take away the live show, that is my joy. I live for that.
And do we see you in the movie Bow? Because I've always loved your Bow when you take everybody down with you. Everybody goes down, and it's up and down, and up and down.
Yeah, you like those kind of parties. No. you don't see
it. Shut up.
You don't see a bow, but actually, it has a great ending. It's a great way to end it. Trust me.
I didn't doubt that for 1 minute. It's and a great title. Mrs. Brown, boys. The movie. I know how busy you are, and I really appreciate you talking to us, because so many people in Liverpool love you and just wanted to hear your voice. So,
well, you've
thank
been very
you
good to me
time.
In the past, Pete, and you know, we became mates before we became anything else, and it's been a joy. And I wasn't going to let this movie open without having the chance to talk to you.
Brendan O'Carroll, give my love to everyone.
Will do, Pete. You give yourself, and listen, tell your mummy thanks for the chicken.
Bye-bye.
Bye.